As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you, because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Big shout out to the draft father, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, who brought everything in on a Monday to give you some insight on where the Chiefs are going, to try to give you some insight on where the Royals are going. We're now joined by Josh Fournier. Before we do that,
swung on, driving a right fielder deep, look out, way back, Robertson looking up, and Jack Caglione has finally got his first home run of the series. It's a grand slam home run. You figured sooner or later that he was going to wake up, and he's finally done so tonight. His fourth home run of the year, RBIs number 16, 17, 18, and 19.
I didn't know that they were doing a Harry Carey impersonation contest in that game, but Vern, welcome to the show. I have to start off, of course, with a Caglione highlight. But how are you, sir? How did you survive these 10 games where the Royals went 2-8?
Yeah, only one, I wouldn't call it a meltdown, but only once did I have to calm myself down on the air. That was Saturday after the 6th straight loss. But listen, said it going into the game yesterday on the On Deck show, we're going to learn something about the boys today. We'll see what kind of fight they have, because I've been around Royals teams in the past, maybe not with the expectations that this team did. But when they go through a losing streak like that, you're staring down the barrel of Tarek Skubal. You get, because listen, guys, Friday, Saturday, that's when, you know, not a lot of people, but quite a few were diving off the bandwagon. We heard that Salvi was washed. People were giving up on Vinny. People were giving up on the team. People wanted this guy fired. People wanted that guy fired. And well, if something like that was going to happen, if it was real, it would be on display yesterday. If this team was soft, like some callers were saying, or mentally weak, like some listeners were saying, if that was going to be evident, it was going to be evident yesterday, and it was not. Now, it wasn't a pretty game, wasn't a clean game. It was a grimy game, and to me, that's the best way to snap a losing streak like that, is by picking one another up. Finding a way against the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner, a nice way to take a first step out of hell yesterday afternoon in Motown.
And now you get this day off, you can decompose and just kind of summer George this thing up for a day, and then
decompose.
You get
right. Decompress.
Decompose. you and I are the only two, my friend, the only two, and I don't care. I like it. Yeah. But anyway, so you get to decompose today, and then you get the Rockies for 3 games, and now you have an opportunity to put together a 4-game winning streak against one of the worst teams in baseball. baseball. Like, these three games are big now coming up to try to get that mojo back a little bit.
Yeah, and it's always a good idea to push back from the table and take a look at the big picture, Bob. I know you've done this over the past few weeks, but if we want to make the NFL equivalent, the Royals are approaching halftime in a 17-game season. They're approaching halftime in week three. You know, we have 85% of the season still ahead of us. Now, to those people that do believe that Salvi is washed or Vinny was a fluke or whatever you're saying, if you believe that Vinny, Salvi, and India are going to continue what they've done over the first 23 games, well, then you know what? You probably should dive off the bandwagon because this thing is not going to get any prettier. But if you had high hopes for this team coming into the season because of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, because of Lugo, Reagans, Estevez, and Urseg at the back end of the bullpen, 15% of the season should not have been enough to completely alter your expectations, your hopes for this team, and it should not have been enough to throw you off the bandwagon. Again, 85% of the season still ahead of you. You still have another 9 meetings with the Detroit Tigers. Now, there's no way around the way that this team has played. They have not looked like the tier of team that we were expecting. I was expecting, we all were expecting this team to play and execute at a level that is reflective of a team that is playoffs or bust. Okay, you're not the Dodgers and the Yankees. It's not World Series or bust, but you are a second-tier team. Well, for the better part of this 10-game road trip, you look like a third-tier team. One of those teams like we were last year, just hoping for a fun summer. Just hoping that you can flirt with 500 and maybe backdoor into the wild card. That wasn't the hope. That's still not the expectation this season, but that's certainly how they've looked.
Yeah, Vern, I'm not sitting here eating a block of cheese the size of a car battery, but when we got the information Saturday morning about MJ Melendez getting sent down, we do a lot of, you know, I do a lot of fantasy talk about how or when or what we need to see from Jack Caglione to maybe just get to AAA at this point. What do they need to see from MJ Melendez, and what would you think is the time period for him to eventually get back to the big league roster?
Well, he needs to hit, and hit, I would say, for a month, at least a month down in Omaha, and someone at the big league level needs to struggle in order for MJ to get back to the big leagues. Look, Drew Waters, since getting what I hope he feels is a massive pat on the back from the organization, as, you know, they could have done the easy thing and sent Waters back and stuck with MJ, but the move is reflective of, I believe, a front office that believes MJ's now completely lost his confidence, which is understandable since the young man can't hit anything with a wrinkle. You know, unless you're throwing him that four-seam fastball, he's swinging, he's missing. You know, it's eye-popping, his inability to hit a breaking ball.
Yep.
So that you need to show me, and again, it's just AAA, and the gap between AAA and the big leagues is cavernous. So, yeah, I'm going to need to see it for a month plus. But, of course, as I say that, you think of Mike Moustakas back in the day. He's sent to Omaha. Danny Valencia immediately breaks his hand and Moose is on his way right back. Mm-hmm. So, Drew Waters, Hunter Renfro, if somebody goes down with an injury, that could speed MJ's return. But, shoot, man, if that happens tomorrow in Colorado, I don't think it's MJ. You know, I think a guy like Nick Lofton or John Rave would get the call before MJ would in this short span of time we've seen.
Vern, we do our overreactions of the weekend every Monday at 6:30, and my overreaction was we'll never see MJ up at the big league level again. Is that an overreaction, or do you think now he's sent down, now he becomes a trade candidate if somebody wants him to be thrown in a deal or something like that? Do you think he will be back up here in Kansas City?
Yeah, I hope so. I certainly hope so. Yes, I do. I do think he'll make his way back to the show at some point this season. And again, I hope so. Again, you know, I heard Dusty make mention of it earlier in the show. The Royals as a team have 11 home runs.
Yeah.
You know, there are guys out there that have 9. That Soderstrom kid in Oakland has 9. Mike Trout, I believe, has 9. The Royals as a team have 11, and 9 of those 11 have been solo shots.
Judge should have 8.
I mean, we could go on and on about the guys that have 8 and 9 that are right on the heels of this Royals team. So when you option one of the few guys on the team that actually has true home run power, you know, that's going to stymie your offense somewhat. But, yeah, to me, there's still a well-rounded athlete there in MJ Melendez. Hitting's tough. There's no guarantee that he makes his way back here, but I'm just looking at the guys that are currently here. MJ at least brought something to the table defensively. Hunter Renfro's bringing you nothing. You know, his one weapon has been his arm, and it just seems he's unwilling to use it properly this season. So Renfro, Waters, quite a few of these options in the corner outfield outside of Mark Canha, shockingly. Not many of these options in the corner outfield do I think are going to cement their spot on this team for the rest of the summer. So I believe there will be an avenue for MJ to make his way back.
Do you think Vinny Pasquantino needs to try to figure out something different here, Vern? Like what is your assessment of him? Because I looked at him coming into the season as a given. Maybe I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But him and Bobby were going to be the running mates, build this franchise around him. He's hitting 100 points less than where he was a year ago.
Yeah, it's maybe the most eye-popping starts of the season of any Royal. Maybe Michael Massey's been pretty disappointing as well. Vinny struck out yesterday 3 times. First time that's happened all season. It's only the 4th time in his entire career. He's had a game with 3 punch-outs, and it comes in the finale yesterday. You know, Bobby has been fine. You know, not an MVP, but an all-star. Mikel's been hitting the ball hard, but what ails this team is what carried this offense last year, and that was the clutch kings that Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny were. You know, last year, Bobby led Major League Baseball with a .388 batting average with runners in scoring position. This year, he's hitting .190. Salvi was top 15 in Major League Baseball, hitting .329 with runners in scoring position. So far this season, he's hitting .194. And then Vinny was 3rd best in Major League Baseball last year, hitting .360. This year, he's at .231. You know, it was, I understand, an unfair expectation to think that these guys would be as dominating this year as they were last year in those clutch situations, but I didn't expect them all to be below average over the first 15% of the season. Now that, I think, gets rectified. That begins to balance out. Maybe they're not all top 15 when the season's said and done, but I do think there will be a rebound over the course of these final 130-some-odd games. You saw yesterday, Vinny dropped down to the 7th spot for the first time in his career. That's not just, hey, we're facing a tough lefty, because Vinny faced Tarek Skubal last summer and was hitting 3rd in that lineup. Vinny, to me, a lot like a Michael Massey, just seems to be in between. You know, the physical and the mental right now not lining up. Massey looks to be pressing. Vinny, to me, is thinking way too much of the dish. No, I do not think it necessitates a trip to Omaha for Vinny, for Massey, because you know, you've already sent one in MJ Melendez. You still need to field a respectable team. Vinny still leads this team in RBI, and I think the big leagues is the best place for him to get it figured out.
Last one here. I know you always say June 1st is when you'll start to evaluate what's really going on with the team throughout the entire season. At the start of it, I guess it's a weird bag of question, but like, when is the concern for Sal? Because my overreaction, as Bob mentioned his, was that like Salvador Perez has kind of been a problem. He's not getting the ball. It's not lifting. He's turning it over, grounding the ball out. Where do we give that time period? Because he's so earned it as a captain and a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, listen, I can already feel Bob rolling his eyes, but if you guys dive into the metrics, Salvi has been one of the 3 most unlucky hitters in Major League Baseball. You look at expected slug, expected on-base percentage, expected batting average. He's at or near the top in every one of those categories. Mm. So hitting the ball hard, not getting a lot of luck. Yes, age 35 or his 35th birthday is right around the corner. To me, if anyone is going to work to get through this early season slide, and it's no doubt that Salvi is expanding his zone, Salvi trying to, and he's done this countless times over the past decade. When the offense struggles, he tries to play hero. And more times than not over the past 10 years, he's been able to come through as the hero. Hasn't happened so far this season. But just like some were quick to retire Travis Kelce a season ago, let's pump the brakes on retiring the great number 13.
No doubt about it, because he was outperformed by a guy named Dirk Diggler this past weekend for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Can't have that happen.
It's a cool name, though.
I mean, great name. Great ending scene as well in that movie. Burn, we appreciate it. Keep doing your thing, man, and I'm always listening. Even though you don't believe me, I am always my ear to the speaker for that pregame and on-deck show that will be on tomorrow against... Look, hey, man, if you're going to get the offense started, those pitchers coming in from Colorado suck.
Well, yeah. I mean, Colorado sucks. The kid that you're going to face in the finale, Chase Dolander, big fastball, one of the top prospects in baseball, first time the Royals have ever seen him.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how that normally goes.
That's right.
Not good.
All right, Vern. Well, we'll talk to you next Monday, and we'll see where these boys are at after another week.
Pick your head up, boys. Let's go. Right.